Simon Tzadik Aleph Sif Hey. That's the topic of Meliach Kerei Seach. So the Gemara says that if something is very salty, a certain amount of salt, so then it has a din as if it's Kerei Seach, as if it's hot. So just like heat that we learned in the previous Sif, when something is hot, it has the ability to transfer taste when it comes in contact with another food. If one of the foods are hot, it has the ability to transfer taste. And we learned that this it depends on a few different factors. It depends if it's a case of bishul or tzli, meaning if there's a hot liquid, if it's cooking, or it's just like a hot solid, like on the barbecue or in the oven. And it also depends on if both things are hot or if only one thing is hot. It depends if it's on top or on bottom. Okay, and if it's on the grill, if it's a solid, it depends if it's lean or fatty. These are all factors in how much taste will transfer, how deep the taste will go. When it goes from one food to the other, when it goes from the cheese to the meat, and vice versa, how deep the taste will go, how deep will it penetrate into the other food. So it depends on all those factors we said before. So the Gemara says that it's not just regular actual physical heat, but also meliach hareyu kareseach. When something's very salty, it also has a din like kareseach. So there's a diuk, first of all, right there in the Gemara says meliach is kareseach. When it comes to kavush, the Gemara says that kavush is kemavushel. When you pickle something, the Gemara says that's like cooking. Sounds like cooking something in a pot, because when you're pickling, you're using a liquid. So in that sense, it's similar to cooking. So it shears those rules of cooking that transfers the taste through and through. But all that the taste spreads to everything that's inside the bucket that you're pickling, that you're doing kavush, it spreads everywhere as if you'd be cooking everything together. Whereas when we say meliach, when you put a salted piece of meat, let's say, next to a piece of cheese, so then the way the taste transfers from the meat to the cheese is a similar way as tzli, because it says kareseach. It doesn't say meliach is kemavushel. By kavush it says kemavushel. By meliach it says kareseach. It connotes like it's like the resich of tzli, because we're dealing with foods, solids. So therefore, the amount that the taste transfers is not the same. It's not the same as bishul, where it penetrates through and through, it spreads to everything. But it's like tzli. Remember what we said by tzli? The rule was that meikar adin, tzli is only kedei mtila. Right? If the putting a piece, you have a piece of meat on the barbecue and you put a piece of cheese on top of that meat, so meikar adin, assuming that both the cheese and the meat are kachush, they're lean, so then the taste from, let's say, the cheese will only go into the meat kedei mtila. So the whole, let's say it's a big fat piece of meat, won't be the whole thing, won't become aser. You can cut off kedei netila, which is the thickness of a thumb, and the rest, the bottom part of the meat, would still remain mutter, because the cheese taste did not penetrate that deep. And the same thing if the piece of cheese, it would be a very, very thick one. So you would only have to take off the bottom part of the cheese, the bottom, whatever it is, a little more than a half an inch. I have to double check exactly what how much it translates into the measurements that we're used to, but the thickness, we say it's the thickness of a thumb. You just have to cut away that part of the cheese, and the top part of the cheese would be made mutter. So similarly, if it's salted things that are touching, if it's going to be salted meat that's touching the cheese, so it's not going to, the taste is not going to penetrate through and through into the cheese. It's only going to go kedei klipa. Whereas by tzli, we said it's going to go kedei netila, which is more than klipa. By melicha, we say it's a little less. By melicha, we say it's kedei klipa. So klipa is much less than kedei netila. Klipa is just the peel. We spoke yesterday, because even by regular heat, there's a case where it's kedei klipa. That's when it's hot onto cold. So we know what the kedei klipa is. So it's much less than kedei netila. So that's what melich kareseach, there is a blia. There aser is kedei klipa. That's, again, that's meikar hadin. That's assuming that the food is kachosh. Just like by tzli, we made a difference between kachosh and shamein. This step by tzli didn't go through and through, it was only if it was lean. Mashenkin, if it was shamein, if one of the foods were fatty, we said that then the taste will penetrate through and through. So similarly, we make that chiluk by melicha, that if it's kachosh, it will be kedei klipa, but if it's shamein, it will penetrate through and through. And just as by Tzli we said that the Rama paskins, that it's very hard for us to know exactly what's considered kachash and shumming, how lean is it considered lean, that you have a piece of meat, so sometimes it's fatty, sometimes it's lean. So how lean does it have to be that you're going to know that it's not going to spread more than, let's say in the case of Tzli, it's not going to be more than Kedei Netila. So therefore he said, we have to be machmir, again, it's only a chumrah, but he says we have to be machmir to always treat it like shamin, and therefore practically Tzli, even though we're not dealing with a liquid, with a hot liquid, but afalfikain, it will aser in a regular case, it will aser bekulai. So similarly, by Melicha, the Ramah holds the same idea, that although Meikar Adin, it's only Kedei Klipa, but since if it would be fatty, then it would spread bekulai. So therefore, Einanu Bekiyim, and we have to treat it always like it's fatty and it asers bekulai. So this is, most of the stuff that we just discussed, the real place for that is not here. The real place for that is in Hilchas Taruvos, in Siman Kuf Hei. But it comes up over here, so that's why we have to give the background. We have to say those halachas, and you have to remember them, because they're going to come up again and again. Then now let's learn the halacha inside. Assaulted food, which, what's the definition of assaulted food? When we say that it's salty enough to transfer taste, how salty does it have to be? Now we're going to say, oh, it's kereseach. How salty does it have to be? The Gemara says a story that there was a chicken that fell, or whatever, chicken or bird, that fell into kutach. Kutach is a kind of a dip that's made out of sour mechalav. We had that in the Pesayin. Some like sour whey. And it has also some breadcrumbs in it, and right, because chametz tikka comes up a few times, and then it's also a little bit salty. It's like a salty dip, some yogurty kind of a dip. So the chicken fell into this kutach. So the Gemara says that they said that it's mutter. That the chicken, you just have to wash it off. It didn't become aser. Why not? Don't we say that there's a rule of meliach kereseach, and since the kutach contains salt, the kutach is salty, so therefore it should be like salty yogurt or whatever it is, salty cheese touches the chicken, meliach kereseach, it should cause the taste to go into the chicken. So the chicken should become aser.
Way is derabanan, right? So
okay.
If derabanan, to make the aser of derabanan.
Mefarshim addressed that in the end of Siman Tzadik, where the Taz seemed to say that we don't do kavush by chalav shchuta because it's a double derabanan, kavush and chalav shchuta. So Mefarshim point out that the Gemara was saying in the case of the chicken that fell into the kutach that it would be aser if it would be a significant enough amount of salt. So in other words, we use this. In other words, I'm trying to tell you that you were mechamen to the question that all the mefarshim, the Dabam Revava, Rabbi Kiva Eger, everybody asked this question on the Taz. The point is that we make it aser. It doesn't matter that it's two derabanan. Okay. And back to the inyan. So the Gemara said that l'chor, maybe the chickens should be aser. The Gemara said practically the reason why the chicken's not aser is because the kutach is not that salty. It's a little salty, but it's nechamach masmilchay. It's not so salty that you can't eat it. Because of its salt. It's not too salty to eat. So therefore, it doesn't have the din of Maliach Kareseach. If it would have been really salty, then you're right. Then the chicken would have become usher because it came in contact with the salty cheese, which that would have caused the taste of the cheese to go into the chicken. So you see from there, that when we say Maliach Kareseach, there's a certain shear. It has to be a certain amount of salt. What is that amount of salt? So the Gemara clarifies. It means Ein Anachamach Masmilcha. It has to be not edible because of its salt. So some of Farshim understand that to mean Rashi, and there's one opinion in Tosfos, Yaakov Yisrael, that understand that to mean that that's really, really salty. That means like either the way you salt something when you want to preserve it, you don't have a fridge or whatever it is, so if you salt the meat, it's going to stay fresh a little bit longer. Either you put it, and for that you have to put a lot of salt, and you mamish, the meat's not edible. Before you want to eat it, you have to wash off all the salt and soak it, and then all the salt comes out, and now it becomes edible. But when you have all that salt, then it's mamish not edible, agamri, and because they're putting the salt in it to keep it fresh. And similarly, when you want to take the meat on a long trip, and also has to stay fresh for longer, or whatever it is, you salt it, you dry it out, and it comes like, I guess, like a beef jerky or something like that. That's what it means, that it has to be that salty. But stamel, even if it's very, very salty, that in and of itself is still not enough to make it mliach kareseach. But we don't paskin like that. We paskin that as long as you have enough salt, that would be enough to kasher the piece of meat. If you want to cook it, before you eat meat, you have to get all the blood out. So either you could roast it, which the roasting gets the blood out, which for that you don't really need to salt it first, because the roasting itself gets all the blood out. If you don't want to roast it, if you want to cook the meat, so if you're going to cook it, so then it's going to be cooked with all the blood. So therefore you have to salt it first to get all the blood out. How much salt do you have to put to get all the blood out? You have to cover the surface of the meat with salt, and from both sides, whatever it is, you have to cover it. The piece of meat becomes quite salty, and then all the blood starts to ooze out. That's the shear that you need. So we paskin that's when we say that something is melich kareseach, how much salt it is, the same amount of salt that you need to kasher the piece of meat, which is significantly less than if you want it, you're trying to preserve it. Okay? But that amount of salt that you need to kasher the meat, likdeira, that's called melicha likdeira. Because firstly, if you want to roast it, you don't need to salt it. The fire will dry out all the blood. If you want to do likdeira, if you want to cook the meat, so you have to salt it first. So the shear is melicha likdeira. The amount of salt that you need to kasher it in order to cook it, that's the amount of salt that's going to cause it to be melicha kareseach. Because that's the way it works. Why do you think the blood gets out all the salt? Why do you think the salt gets out all the blood? Because melicha kareseach, it has this koyach. So we're going to connect the rule of melicha kareseach to this, to the fact that the salt is able to get out the blood. That's how it's able to get out the blood. And therefore, that's the shear of how much salt you need. So that's how the Mechaber paskins. Right? It's melicha l'gdeira. Melicha she'en enech l'yachal machmas milchai. If it's so salty that it's too much salt to be eaten with that amount of salt. Dahainu and itaiches. What does that mean? This was the Gemara said ein enech machmas milchai. But we said some afarshim say that means Rashi, and one Pirush in Tosfos said that means preserving. That's very, very salty. But we paskin dahainu kein meliach shemilchin l'gedera. The amount of salt that you need when you want to kasher it in order to cook it. So that's how much salt you need. If you have less salt than that, then it's not going to be kareseach. That's going to be like the case of the Gemara, that even though the kutach was a little bit salty, but it wasn't ein enecha machmas milchai, and therefore it didn't aser the bar goizel, it didn't aser the bird that fell into it.
The Gemara passes like the Mechaber? The Gemara passes like the Mechaber?
Well, the Mechaber is basing it off, Shulchan Aruch is all based off the Gemara. So the Shulchan Aruch is basing it off this story, that the chicken did not become mussar because it was ein enecha machmas milchai. And the definition of ein enecha machmas milchai was a machlekes. And he paskin, like the Pirush of Rabbeinu Tam, which was actually the stricter Pirush, that even if it just has this amount of salt, it already becomes ein enecha machmas milchai. The case of the Gemara was because it even didn't have that much salt. How much salt do you have in the kutach already? You meant to eat it. It's not ein enecha machmas milchai. You meant to eat it. So it is enecha machmas milchai. That's why it didn't make us. Even though it's salty, but it doesn't. Now, the Rama says, I'm going to skip a little bit the second part of the Mechaber, and I'm going to skip the first part of the Rama, and I'm going to go to the end of the first Haggah. The Yesh Oimrim, the Anan Ein Bakim Bedavar. We are not Baki how much salt exactly. What exactly is the Shir of Ein Erech HaMachmas Milchai? Oh, the amount of salt you need to kasher. We know when you want a kasher, we make sure to put a lot of salt. If you put a little bit of less salt, probably going to be a kasher or kashering also. So what exactly is the amount of salt that's going to, over here it's the chumrah. We want to know what's the amount of salt that's going to be able to cause a problem. So the Rama says you can't start calculating each case. What are you going to do? Taste it to see if it's nechem achmas milchai or not. Einanu bekiyim bedavar. V'yesh lanu lachshev, l'chashev, afilu melichas tzli kereseach. Even much less salt than melicha l'kedera. even malicha letzli. What does it mean, malicha letzli? We said before, if you want to roast a piece of meat, you don't need to do malicha. But afal pekein, the minig is that before you do tzli, you sprinkle on a little salt. It's not the same amount of salt that you need to do when you're really trying to kasher the meat by doing the malicha. But this is some minig. Not even sure exactly where it comes from, this minig. But there is such a minig that before we... So the only thing we really roast, we always roast the kaved. So that's taka practically how we do it. That when the kaved's ready to go into the fire, you sprinkle on a little bit of salt. You don't have to really pour it on, make sure the whole thing is covered like when you're kashering it. You just sprinkle a little salt, you put it in. So the Rama says, even lichas tzli, which is a little bit of salt, which is much less than what you need to do to kasher the meat in order to cook it, even that, ain't on a bakiyin, we have to be machmir to treat it like it's kareseach. Because they know no bakiyin. However, as the it says, v'toiv lahachmir, we should be machmir, even malicha sleeve and a little bit of malicha, that it's kereseach. But makim shein have some ruba. In the case that there's no have some ruba, in the case of have some ruba, so then if you taka know, I mean, if you're honest with yourself and you see that it really wasn't that salty, it really was a nechel machmas milchoy, so then you could be makel. But if it's not a have some ruba, meaning, let's say you have a salted piece of meat and it touches cheese. So if it's not a hefsim, but it's not such a salted piece of meat. It's a little bit salty. So if it's not a hefsim aruba, so you say, okay, cheese becomes aser. If it's a hefsim aruba, so then you could say, nah, the cheese didn't really become aser because the meat was really nechal machmas milchay.
How much is hefsim aruba?
Hefsim aruba is, there's no amount. It's kafira ois eni hadayin. The rav sees in each case, the Rav has to see in each case, goes according to the person, if the person's poor situation, it goes on the situation. That's the din of Hefsim Aruba. So, again, something to clarify about Hefsim Aruba, the Rama in the Hakdamah to a Sefer Teres Chatas brings down that, because in the Mechaber you never really see Hefsim Aruba. Mechaber says the halacha is like this, halacha is like that. Once in a while, once in a blue moon, Mechaber says you should be machmer, and have some ruba, you could be makel. But the Rama, every second line says it. So the Rama in the Hakdama to a Sefer Teres Chatas explained it's not the pshat that when something is aser, so if there's a hefsim ruba, you could eat something which is aser. Chas v'shalom. The pshat is that when I'm makel by hefsim ruba, the pshat is that I hold that really mutter. Like the opinions that hold it's mutter. If there's no hefsid, I say it's better to be machmir if it's not such a big hefsid. If there's a big hefsid, I let you go back and rely on what I feel is really the halacha. But it's never the pshat that because it's a hefsid, so we allow you to take something which is mutter, I'm sorry, which is aser, and say, because it's a hefsid maruba, you could just eat it. And that's a very, very important insight. So when we're saying when something is mutter, hefsid maruba, the pshat is that we really hold that that's the Iker Halacha. It's just that if there's no Hefsim Merubah, we're Machner. When there is Hefsim Merubah, we rely on what we really think is the Iker Halacha. I mean, that's just an important thing, because it's going to come up again and again. That's why the Rama says it in the Hakdama over there to Teres Chatas.
So that's just straight up Machlekes.
Okay. Huh?
That means that whenever it brings down the Hefsim Merubah, the Rama...
So let's think in this example. This example is a clear thing. The Gemara Beferish says that if it's Nechel Machmas Milchay, it's mutter,
right.
All right? So but face a clear thing. And there was a machlokes what it means, ein nechel machmas milchay. If it has to be lahatznia, or even if it's l'kdeira. But if it's less than l'kdeira, everyone agreed. It's not as if it's a machlokes. Everyone agreed that if it's less than l'kdeira, it's mutter. So this that we say, ein on a bakiyin, it means we're being machmer on ourselves, that we don't want to trust ourselves to say that it's not really that salty, so we're machmer. But has some aruba, so you follow the regular halacha. But here it's easy to see how, you know, but the rule really applies even in the case of a machloikis. Some says aser, someone says mutter, and we say, we paskin aser, but have some ruba, we say it's mutter. The pshat is that we really hold like the one who says it's mutter, and it's like this. But in this case, it's not even, no one holds it's aser. It's just mamash a chumra, it's like, from the beginning it's a chumra, that we don't want to trust ourselves. Ain't another kiyan, you know, we're scared. We're scared to trust our own judgment. Okay, so this is one very important machloikas. How much does meliach kareseach aser? I'm sorry. How much salt do you need for meliach kareseach for it to be kareseach? Right? We pass in it has to be einenecha machmas milchay, which the shear of that is the amount of salt that you need a kasher meat. If it's less than that, it's going to be mutter, and that's how the Mechaber paskins. You could be your own judge. Rama says we don't want to trust our own judgment. Unless it's hefsa merubah, then we'll trust our own judgment. And if it's less than that, if it's nechamach masmilchay, then what's the pshat? The pshat is that it's not called salted. It's like toinu b'toinin. And all you have to do is hadacha. And if it is salty, so then it's considered mliach kareseach. How much does mliach kareseach aser? So that we didn't read yet inside. How much does mliach kareseach aser? So we mentioned it before that it's kedei klipa unless it's fatty. So I'll just read you a little bit inside where we talk about that. Hilkach, right, is the second piece of Mechaber towards the end. Hilkach basar gvina hamaluchim. Let's say you have meat and cheese that are salted together. Shenogu zebazen came in contact. Tzarech likleif shnehem b'makim negiyasim. You have to, likleif means you have to take off a klipa, to peel. Likleif means to peel. Tzarech likleif shnehem, you have to take off a klipa from each one, because the salty meat went into the cheese. Kedei klipa. The salty cheese went into the meat, kedei klipa. So you have to take off a klipa from both. You don't have to take from the whole entire piece. From the side where they touched, that's where there was a blia, and that's where you have to take off the klipa. I'm going to skip the last thing in the Mechaber. I'm going to go to Rama, V'yei Shemrim. And there are those that say, B'chol Melicha Anu Masharim B'Shishim. There is an opinion that says that Melicha is not like sleeve, is not like, it's not only Kedei Klipa. Melicha is Kulay. Melicha is Kulay. That opinion holds that sleeve is also Kulay. Not opinion that we don't paskin like that opinion. There is such an opinion. Although we don't paskin like this opinion, says the Rama, but look in Hilchos Taruvos to see what I pask and what we're supposed to do. Where over there, the Rama says that although we don't pask like this opinion that says that Melicha is Bekulay, nevertheless, Hayoyis that by Melicha there is a chiluk if it's kachosh or shamein, if it's lean or fatty. That if it's fatty, even the Mechaber, right, even the lenient opinions that say that Melicha is only Kedei Klipa agree that if it's fatty, it goes Bekulay. So therefore, we should be machmir, that even if it's lean, we should, we can't trust our judgment, what's considered lean, what's considered fat. He doesn't want to trust our judgment, the Rama. So therefore he says that we should be machmir and treat it all like fatty, in which case it's going to go bekulay. It's not because he really holds like this opinion that says melicha aser is bekulay, unless you have shishim. Really we hold that melicha is only kedei klipa, but because melicha, if it's shamein, it will aser bekulay, unless you have shishim against it. And we ain't not a bakiya, we don't want to trust ourselves, so therefore we're going to say that the whole thing is aser. Now when we say the whole thing is aser, what happens if, let's say you salted a piece of meat with cheese. It was a massive block of cheese like this, and it was a little bit of a little piece of meat. They were salted together. So we say melicha is bekulay. We don't want to trust that judgment, let's make believe it's fatty. Or let's say it is a case that it's fatty meat. It's fatty meat. So how much does it go? It doesn't just go kedei klipa into. It doesn't penetrate just the kedei klipa. It penetrates through and through, all the way till the end of the. So that means that the whole entire piece of cheese is aser.
Makes no sense. Mm-hmm. Small little piece of meat to be able to.
So that means if you don't have, when it penetrates through and through, the whole thing becomes aser. That means if you have less than shishim in the whole piece, then the whole piece is going to become aser. If you have shishim in the whole entire piece. So then, all the taste that penetrated through and through.
That means even the klipa should be mutter then.
Hold it.
Then the cheese should be on the whole meat.
Yeah, the meat's going to be aser for sure, the whole meat. I'm saying if they're both salted. But let's just focus on, let's say, the meat's being salted and how much the meat is going into the cheese. So we're saying if it's fatty, so it's not penetrating just kedei klipa, it's penetrating through and through. So therefore, we're machmir, or if it's fatty, we paskin like that, make our adin, that. If you don't have shishim in the cheese against the meat, the whole cheese is going to be aser. But if you do have shishim in the cheese, that meant that what? That the taste of the meat spread throughout the whole cheese and disappeared in the cheese. Which means, just like when a piece of meat falls into a pot of milk and you have shishim, so the milk is mutter, just to take out the piece of meat. Mm-hmm. So same thing should happen to the cheese, it should also be mutter. So then Shmuel asks, but what? So then Lefizeh, even the kedei klipa should be mutter, because nothing... The klipa also doesn't have a taste of meat. If you're telling me that because it's fatty, the taste of meat spreads throughout the whole entire piece of cheese, that means that even in the first kadei klipa where it touched, even there you don't have anything. So even the original kadei klipa, in other words, the spot where the meat touched the cheese should also be okay.
The touching part's us, or that we say that.
Because you're saying since it's fatty, it spread it.
Not according to the top. Whole...
So the answer to that is, now that you're going to still have to take off a klipa. So you're always going to need klipa by malicha. Mm-hmm. We're touched. Well, I'll explain in a second. You're always going to need klipa. The question of whether or not the rest of the meat becomes usser, that depends if it's fatty or not. If it's fatty or not, if it's not fatty, so the mikar adin, the rest will be mutter. If it is fatty, so if you have shishim, the rest of the meat will be okay. You'll still have to take off a klipa, but the rest will be okay. And if you don't have shishim, so then the whole thing will be usser. So what we're just saying is, we're just clarifying that even if it's fatty and you have shishim, you're still going to have to take a klipa. Why should that be so? So for two reasons. First of all, the same way we said that we don't want to trust our judgment that it's lean, and to say that therefore it didn't spread and the rest is mutter when you don't have shishim, so now saying that it's fatty is a kula. Because in the case that you have shishim and everything, so now if you know it's fatty, it means that even the klipa is mutter, so we don't want to trust our judgment to say that we know for sure it's fatty. Maybe it's not fatty enough. And therefore, maybe it's lean. If it's lean, it only went kadei klipa. So we don't want to trust our judgment either way. So therefore, even if you have shishim and it's fatty, but still you need a kadei klipa. And besides for that, there's another reason, that even if we would trust our judgment...
You do not should know, because you said if it touches, the place that it touches...
Yeah, that's the source for this. We're just saying in the halacha. And besides for that, there's another reason. The bottom line is, the point of contact will always have a stronger remnant of... So when the meat, let's say, falls into a soup, falls into, let's say, a pot of milk, and you have shishim against it, so there's no real point of contact. There's no part of the milk that's going to have a stronger concentration of meat taste than the rest of the pot. So therefore, as long as you have shishim, the whole thing is mutter. There's no... I'm saying besides the piece of meat you have to take out, but I'm saying the whole, we don't identify one part of the soup and say, or part of the milk rather, and say that part of the milk is aser. Or Shankin, when you're talking about a solid piece of cheese that came in contact with the salty meat, so yeah, maybe the taste that went in spread in terms of the rest of the piece, if you had shishim and it was fatty, so it spread in its bottle. But in terms of the point of contact, there will be a higher concentration of taste at the point of contact. When you're dealing with solids, there will be a high concentration at the point of contact. So this rule is true, cipher melicha and cipher tzli. Let's say if it's fatty by tzli, if you don't have shishim, everything is aser. If you do have shishim, everything is mutter, but you're still going to have to take off klipa or netila at the point of contact. Because when you're dealing with solids, there will be a higher concentration at the point of contact.
Yeah, isn't there a machlekes on daf tzadik vav m'sechtes whether or not we say that, but about the Mishnah. I forgot the words.
We'll go over. We're gonna learn that those sources when we learn Siman Kuf Hei. This is the main place of the mucker of how much melicha and tzli asers. Then we'll have a look at that, those gemaras, and we'll see the different ways of explaining it. Every way obviously has a way of explaining it. In other words, this will have a way of fitting in, that even though there's shishim and it's fatty, that it will still be also kadei klipa or kadei netila at the point of contact. That will fit into the Gemara, and not everyone agrees to it, but that's how we paskin. I'm just saying that how we paskin. Right now I'm just giving you the rules you have to memorize, and we get to Hilchos Taruvos, maybe that's when we're going to learn some of the sources for it. Okay, so now we learned one very, very important thing. Actually, two very important things. Let's actually see the Hemshech in the Mechaber. Turn to the Mechaber in Sivav. Again, we're continuing to discuss how much does Melicha Aser. So the Mechaber said Melicha is only Kedei Klipa. But then he says, Heicham Rinan de Eino Yisraela Kedei Klipa. When do we say the Melicha is only Kedei Klipa? That's Kashein Shum Achas Meachatichah Shmeina. When none of the pieces are fatty. Shim hoisa shmeina, but if the salty thing was fatty, then kul asura, then it penetrates through and through, and it makes the whole entire thing asur. Chein chaverta asura kula. And the same thing, the other thing, if they're both salty, so even if one of them is fatty, if they're both salty, even if one of the items are fatty, they both will become, let's say you're salting meat and cheese, and the meat is fatty, so not only will the cheese become asur kula because the fatty meat will penetrate through and through in the cheese, but because the meat is fatty, so the taste of the cheese will also penetrate through and through in the meat. So they'll both be asur kula. Again, assuming that you don't have shishim against the other food. Mipnei shashumun mefafeya, since a fatty thing causes the taste to spread. So we have the rule of melicha. Melichas kadei klipa. And if it's fatty, it spreads bekulay. And if you don't have shishim, it's kulay aser. If you do have shishim, it will be able to protect that the rest of it will be mutter, but you still would need to have to take off a klipa at the point of contact. That is shita samachaber. Shita sarama is inan abakim. We don't want to trust our judgment, so therefore we have to treat everything like fatty, at least the chumra, that if you don't have shishim, everything is aser. If you do have shishim, so that will be enough to save the rest of the piece of meat, but obviously you would not be allowed to the klipa at the point of contact will remain aser for two reasons in this case. First of all, because there's always a higher concentration at the point of contact, even if it is fatty. And furthermore, you can't trust our judgment to know that it is fatty. The same way we don't want to trust our judgment to know that it's kachush, we don't want to trust our judgment to say that it's shami. So therefore, lepoil, even if you have shishim, but you're still going to have klipa, the makayim, shenoga, at the point of contact. That is how much melicha aser. How much salt do you need for it to be kareseya? Chabra says, melicha l'kdeira. Rama says, we don't want to trust. Again, that's the ikar hadin. And then the Rama says, we don't want to trust our judgment, so we have to treat even melicha sli, and that it could make it aser. But in the Makim Hefsa Maruba, we would trust our judgment. So now what happens if you have something which is mildly salty? So again, even the Ramah, by the way, just to clarify, it doesn't mean that anything that has a little salt in it, according to the Ramah, is considered kareseach, and whatever it comes in contact to it will cause a bliya. It means it has to be a salty food. It has to be salty. If the taste that it tastes salty. It can't just have a little bit of salt in it. If it tastes salty, so even though it's really edible, machmas mili chasai, afal b'kim, we don't want to trust our judgment, then we treat it that it's ein anachal, and therefore it can make it aser. So let's say you have something which is a little bit salty. Between me and you, we think, in our better judgment, it is nechel machmas milcha. It's edible. I would eat it. But the Rama says we have to be machmer. So we have such a piece of meat, and it comes in contact with cheese. So how much? So does the cheese become aser, and how much of the cheese becomes aser? There's no shishim in the cheese, just a piece of meat, 5 ounce piece of meat, 5 ounce piece of cheese. The piece of meat is salted. How much does the cheese become aser?
According to the Ramah, you should be machmir for the whole piece because we're afraid it's fatty.
Right. According to the Ramah, we should be machmir. So some say that would be the halacha. The whole cheese would be aser. And others say in this case, you don't have to be so machmir. In this case, it would be kadei klipa. Why? Because we're doing two chumras over here. First of all, between me and you, it's not even salty, this piece of chicken. This is edible. I taste the salt, but it's edible. Yeah? So really, mikir adin, it shouldn't aser at all. It should just be b'hadacha. So you're machmir, number one, that it has a din of maliach. Then, even if it's maliach, but it looks to me like it's a lean piece. So mikir adin, it should only be kadei klipa. You're going to say, don't trust your judgment that it's lean. Maybe it's fatty. Therefore, aser is kuli. So you're making two chumras. Number one, you're not trusting your judgment that it's edible, and you're assuming that it's kamaluach. Number two, you're not trusting your judgment that it's kachush, and you're treating it like shami. Who says we have to? Who says we have to go that far? We don't necessarily pile up both chumras together. So this is a machlekes. If we who follow the Ramah would have to be machmir both of these chumras together. In other words, if you have a something, a piece of meat that's a little bit salty and comes in, and it's lean and it comes in contact with cheese. So some say in such a case, even in such a case, going to Ramah, it asters the whole cheese. Because Ramah holds, we have to treat it like shamin. I'm sorry, the Ramah holds, we have to treat it like salty, and the Ramah holds, we have to treat it like shamin, and therefore the whole thing is aser. Another opinion says we don't have to pile on both chumras. We're going to at least accept the basic chumra that it's considered salty. Because if it's not considered salty, then it doesn't aser anything, it's just hadacha. So we'll accept the basic chumra that it's considered salty, so it could make it aser, but how much? We don't have to pile on the second chumra also. Therefore, in such a case, we could rely that it's only kedei klipa. What we still have to discuss is how much, for how long does it stay kareseach? A hot thing, you have a hot piece of meat, comes in contact with cheese, can make it aser. Once the piece of meat cools down, drops below yatzei ledes, it's not potent enough anymore, it's not considered hot enough to transfer a taste into the cheese. Right? Once it cools down. What happens when you have a salty piece of meat? What's the cooling down point? What's the end point? When is it no longer kareseach? Or does it stay? Maybe it doesn't go away. Maybe it stays until you wash it off. That's the next thing we have to figure out. And also, is there a starting point? Meaning, does it take a certain amount? You throw the salt onto the piece of meat. Does it take a certain amount of time till it becomes hot? When I put the meat on the fire, it's not kareseach that second. It takes a few minutes till it heats up. So when I throw the salt onto the piece of meat, so does it become instantly kareseach, or it takes some time? And so that's, so number one, how long does it take till it starts becoming kareseach? You have the right amount of salt. It's melicha l'gdeira, you threw on enough salt, yeah? But how long does it take till it starts becoming kareseach? And for how long does it stay kareseach? That's a very big issue which we have to still discuss.